in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren, and with us this week, I'm going to introduce your mom.
It's Joanna Jeppa.
Your mom's here.
Oh no, my mom's here. Hi, Mom.
Hi there.
So we are broadcasting live from my birthday party, which we are going to start making an annual
Chris had to invite her mom to her birthday party.
Oh, I jumped at the opportunity.
To be with such a cool dude as Chris Jeppa.
Yeah, well, yeah. I like my mom a lot, so she's allowed to come to my birthday party.
I just had to make fun of you a little.
Yeah, well.
Because your mom's at your birthday party, and we love her. Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We wanted to make this an annual tradition of doing a little check-in with folks at my birthday party. Reflecting on the past year. We've been doing a lot of that on the podcast lately anyway, but just wanting to get a couple of different perspectives maybe from just the two of us.
Yeah, ours are not good.
And if you have any kind of hopes for next year, or not necessarily New Year's resolutions, but maybe just something that you're looking forward to, something out on the radar. So I know that this year's been quite a change for you. Do you want to let us know a little bit about that?
It has been a change. I retired from my job where I was there for 26 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And the 1st of July, so it's been about 5 months now.
On Canada Day.
Yes.
It was your Freedom Day.
That was it.
Independence Day.
That's the word I was going for.
Everyone encouraged me to take a trip immediately. I'd hope to be in Ottawa on Canada Day for all the celebrations of the 150th anniversary. I didn't quite get it together, but I got out there 2 weeks later. And really had a great time visiting friends, first in Quebec and then to Ottawa. And really, really great, and came home feeling renewed.
You spent a couple of months traveling, didn't you? Or was it just the 1 month?
Just the one
Yeah,
month.
But that's still a nice long vacation long when you're...
Yes. Yes. And
did you see the Rideau Canal?
Yes, you did.
We?
Yes,
you did?
We did. A friend of mine's brother lives by there, and he invited us out for dinner. He's just come to the coast
that's cool.
today, so we'll reciprocate.
Oh, fantastic. Does he know Le Bonhomme? I'm so scared of Le Bonhomme. Do you remember him?
From Quebec?
Yeah.
Yes.
The good
yes.
man, I guess. The terrifying snowman that haunts us all yes. in Canadian schools.
I was so surprised how my friend in Gatineau, Quebec, we went over a bridge and we were in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So that was very close. And we were teaching my French-Canadian friend English. And it was pretty neat because when we returned from Ottawa back to Gatineau, people at Tim Hortons, one lady asked, could he please speak French? So he had completely taken on English. That was very validating for him.
Oh, cool.
And now
they couldn't tell.
He's taking courses at the college, and we're Skyping once a month. So
oh, my goodness.
This was a friend that I met in 1972 on an exchange trip. His wife, Joanne, was my exchange student friend, and we've been friends ever since.
That's fantastic.
And it's been really fun.
Yeah. I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but when I was 17, also I went over and visited that friend in northern Quebec.
Yes.
And had to speak French the whole time. Like, it was immersive. Nobody spoke English except for her friend Joanne and her two sons, and they were instructed to not speak English to me.
Was that incredibly alienating, or...?
No, it's... I had to learn. I could understand enough French to get by, but I had to speak it as well, And it was immersive, and so my French improved a lot.
Right.
But it was, she made me, do reports to the family at the end of the day, where it's like, okay, Christina, what did we do today? Okay, today we went to the zoo, and we saw a turkey, and we saw...
She, in fact, became an interpreter.
Okay.
And now does private coaching for people. So I can see where she probably was getting
report.
Quite focused on
reports. I saw a turkey. I went here.
Well, that was my first real sort of exposure to separatist Quebec.
Okay.
Because up in northern Quebec, they were all very anti-monarchy, and so there was a moment where this person was just like, oh, look over there, La Dinde, you know, the turkey. And he holds up a $20 bill and points to the picture of the queen and goes, La Dinde. The queen is a turkey.
She's a gobble gobble.
Yeah.
She gobbled up everything.
And I didn't get it. And then he was like, oh, because we hate the queen. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I was 17 when I was up in the same spot in mm-hmm. northern Quebec.
Chicoutimi?
Yes. And they teased me. And oh. they would ask me questions. And they'd get me to say words. And there oh were two God. Brothers.
That's so mean.
And we had lots of fun. We met them again this past summer. But I remember them offering me food. And I was, in my mind, saying, no, thank you. I'm full. So I said, no, merci, je suis plein. And apparently that was, I am pregnant. So they just kept that going for the longest time before I figured it out.
How is your French? Do you speak it quite competently, or?
Once I'm immersed, it comes back.
Okay, cool.
And I try to keep it up, but it's hard. It's hard.
I find French very difficult.
Yes. But the Skyping is fun. We try to have equal time to speak French. And, yeah.
That's awesome.
Language exchange.
It's very encouraging.
You are definitely somebody who is putting in the work to do improvement things in your life. Like, you are always trying to get a little bit better at stuff, I notice. Like, you're always cooking up some scheme.
Well, the biggest thing, and it's been going on for 5 years, was being involved with Toastmasters, as you know.
Yeah.
And I started that because I wanted to be able to speak clearly and have a message. Well, now what's happened is I'm learning more about listening.
Oh, and that doesn't sound as good.
I know, it didn't, because I love talking.
Can't relate. Yes,
but
I can.
The point is, you do speak while you're listening, but you have to put all your mind to what the other person's message is, and you're just clarifying and honing in and actually supporting the person to really tell you what the message is. Mm-hmm. But we learn these things. I'm sure you have too, about listening to what they're saying and how the feelings are behind it. Mm-hmm. But how great is that?
This was a skill that I definitely honed a lot while I was working in the Downtown East Side, mm-hmm. where you would do that active listening with people. And then it eventually got to the point where I was so sort of stressed out and burned out that I just couldn't listen anymore. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm cut it. And so I was really like boundary full and like didn't really get into those good conversations. And I haven't really been practicing that skill, and I feel like I've lost it a bit. And that's something that I've noticed on our podcast, where I'm not as engaging with the guests anymore. I'm not really like listening and like being fascinated by them as much as I would like to be.
Sure.
So that's one of my resolutions for 2018, is to get back into being more fascinated by people.
Ooh.
Instead of just, because I've been pretty self-focused, just trying to keep my head above water in a mire of stress.
Oh yeah.
But trying to branch that out. So the listening, one of my tricks, like, when I would listen to folks, I would write things down. Mm-hmm. And so then I knew that I wouldn't forget. So then they could go on as long as they wanted. I didn't have to interrupt because I'd lose that thought. Mm-hmm. So having a notebook, but that's like, you can't do that in like conversation with people. Just like have a notebook out and furiously scribbling notes.
But I suppose you could.
You could.
But you'd have to lead with that and be like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Because yeah. Otherwise they'd be like, what are you doing?
What are you taking notes? Yes. What am I? They would be so uncomfortable. They'd be like, what are you writing down about me?
Uh-huh.
Like a therapist.
That's a whole scene.
At my age now, I can say I'm doing this for my memory.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to lose my track. But I believe the focus on mindfulness, I see that you're reading about that as well.
I have a mindfulness coloring book right here.
The first step was just to be ready to listen. Mm-hmm. In our busy lives, that's hard. But I also recognize, Christina, that you don't have to do that active listening all the time. This is when you want to really understand someone's point of view. And the other principle from conflict resolution is to really seek to understand. And that's kind of gets exciting, you know, like, do I get it? And then the third piece would be to give back what you understood, confirmation of what you heard.
Yes, that's
how
the reflecting back.
How wonderful that is.
And so validating to have that somebody do it for you.
It's also artistic, and I believe that that might be my new year. Like you, just focus a little more, because it's kind of astounding when you realize how you don't do those things, and we were talking to the little boy just earlier. He left.
Was he 16 months? There's a cute little baby boy here. Little toddler boy.
But the idea that they're expressing themselves too.
I love that kid.
So sweet.
This is like a little baked good. I just want to slather him with butter, take a bite. He's so sweet.
He was such
a cute little boy. I just asked him to hug him both times and he just like, yep. Just threw open his arms and was like, yep, let's do this. I loved it.
Yeah, he is a really sweet kid.
But wasn't it amazing that the parents taught him sign language when he was 6 months old?
Yes. Yeah. So when I babysat both of those kids, the younger one, I remember we had one of our first babysitting times and we were going to have dinner together. Mm-hmm. So got her in the high chair, everything. We talked about how broccoli is great for like half an hour. Aww. She was super into broccoli that day.
How old was she?
I think at this time she was about 2. So this was, she could talk at this time. So my story is actually irrelevant to what we were talking about.
No.
I just remembered that.
Because he wasn't alive yet. But.
No, but I just remember that she was really into broccoli. We had a great time. But I remember from having dinner with her and her parents that she would do like the sign language for like, oh, I like some more, please. Or I'm all done. I'm all finished. And so then the parents know and there's not like a huge screaming tantrum about that. And so we were thinking like, how cool is that that kids might be able to express themselves before they're that verbal, and maybe avoid. And so the parent, you know, the dad was just like, there's still tantrums, though.
Like, trust me, it doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah, but it's definitely a helpful thing.
It is a tool. It is not a panacea.
Yeah.
Boy, when you see what they have to deal with at that age.
So hard to be a child. Yes. Like, that, and that's, I think that goes back to what you said about, like, really, truly understanding someone when you listen to them is to, like, what's your context, little one? Like, what is your situation? Oh, you missed a nap today. There was chaos going on at home. But he was still such a sweet little kid. But he was quieter than maybe he would normally be. And there's just so many factors to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Children are people, apparently.
They are.
Go figure.
Like, from right away, turns out.
Yeah, it turns out they're not just, like, little flesh blobs you have to not kill. Like, they're actually people developing the whole time. It's wild. It's wild.
It's hard, I think, not to put all your expectations that they'll be a certain way. You just have to really watch and see where their interests are. And we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm really getting through practicing this listening is sometimes I don't feel really listened to. But then that sort of pushes me to say, okay, well, have I actually said it and put feelings?
Hmm.
Like, how engaging was I? So it's kind of a two-way thing.
Yeah.
The more you listen, the more you realize those are what I want to hear. Okay, am I delivering that?
Hmm, yeah.
I've been having some really interesting professional-related things around understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, with, you know, people that will come into our office off the street, where it's like, okay, I've said one thing, and then they've heard it a totally different way. And you can never, like, you can't control how people interpret what you say, and it's really, I've been very frustrated, and it's all, you know, Mercury retrograde, like, which is a big it's a communication breakdown time, and so, like, I definitely had, like, a terrible week about communication stuff. But just really seeing, like, in real time, somebody totally misinterpreting what I'm saying, and then when I try to go back and clarify, like, just so you know, they're like, I got it. And you don't want to tell somebody, repeat back to me what I said, or did you write this down,
you
or whatever.
You have to, though, don't
but
you?
But you kind of have to for quality assurance.
For quality assurance purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so apparent when people totally don't get what you're saying that you have to kind of ask, did you get what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
without sounding like a really...
What was your interpretation of what I just said?
Yes. I guess all this takes time. People don't seem to have a lot of time. these days. Is that
but they
true?
Don't want to make the time.
Yeah.
Also.
There's a lot of coaching that we do in my work around getting people to advocate for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come into my office, sometimes they think like, oh, well, this person's going to do it all for me. And you have to be like, it's really a lot better when you do it yourself. You have all the access to your personal information that I can't get.
Mm-hmm.
No one has to tell me anything. So, but they have to tell you because you're the client or whatever.
Yeah.
And so trying to coach folks to do that is really hard because they're like, well, I don't know. And then you tell them all the steps and then they're like, okay, fine. And you kind of have to really be like, okay, tell me what you're going to do next and go through. And it really It can feel a little condescending to folks, but I've got a coworker who's very good. She can read it with certain folks that she's a combination. Her dad's a lawyer and her mom's a kindergarten teacher. So she's got the, like, the legal sort of, like, okay, let's strategize about this, but with the approach of a kindergarten teacher to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to walk you through these steps. And with a lot of our clients, it makes a huge difference. And they come away being like, okay, I have my homework. Good, I've got a strategy. This is great. And then they go forth and then they come back to us and they're like, that really helped and I did it. And then they feel so much better rather than you doing it for them kind of thing. But the sort of... Are you interpreting that correctly, or are you going to walk away from here being like, that stupid person didn't do anything for me, you know? So it's really hard to manage. It's really hard to manage other people's behavior.
The whole Mercury in retrograde, I keep talking about it constantly because it just keeps happening to me. Like, I don't actually know. But basically, like, 3 times a year, Mercury's orbit around the sun basically looks like it's going backwards or something like that. And during that time, a bunch of shit's supposed to happen to people.
It's like an astrological thing, which is not...
It's horseshit.
It's not real, but it's a bit of a shortcut to be like, everything's going to be really bad for a while.
Yeah, it's just a nice way to sort of frame, like, we're all having communication breakdowns. It's not because we're stupid. It's not because the other people are stupid. It's because, like, there's just interference running right now or something like that. And that's always true. So it's nice to just sort of frame it as, this is an eventuality. It just happens 3 times a year, and we have to be patient through this experience. And yeah, so I don't even know if it's true, but it feels very true right now because it started on December 3rd and it goes till the 23rd. So it's been hard, and like, even we have miscommunicated a bunch, and we're normally very good at that
stuff.
What
did we miscommunicate?
No, we've been fine. I was taken for the podcast.
I was like, oh no, what did
we do? No, we've been perfect. It turns out we're excellent to each other most of the time. But I definitely had it happen in my relationship and, like, talking to my parents and at work.
Yeah. So.
And it's a lot to do with communication, isn't it?
And to be willing to be humble in communication, I think, is very important. It's something that I have to balance because, like I said, I'll roll over and I don't want to. But I also want to be like, yes, I make mistakes. And you make mistakes and we both make mistakes. And I don't need to be right in this situation. I just don't want to be wrong either. So,
yeah. So work is hard. What's it like being retired? Is it nice? I can't wait.
It is nice.
I have to stir the rice.
Oh, you have to stir the rice. Katie's going to stir the rice and Mom's going to talk into this.
So as I said, it's been 5 months and I had a few things that I kept going from work just to complete the satisfaction of a few projects. And now I'm involved in writing a play.
Oh my gosh.
And it's going to be a year and a half. So there's plenty of time to make it as meaningful and dialogue, and it's just involving a lot of people.
What is your role? Are you're a co-writer? Like,
well, at this point, I am supporting the director in an apprentice-like fashion.
Oh, nice.
And we've set aside time, and we're having a good time schedule so that we can see how we're progressing.
Right, lots of time for checking back in and reevaluating and figuring that out.
So it's pretty exciting.
What's the play about, are you allowed to say, or is it still in the works?
At this point, I'm learning how intense the creative process is, and there will be lots of changes, but it will be musical fantasy.
Are you gonna make it like musical theater?
Yes.
Mom, musical fantasy.
You're gonna write a musical theater? Do you have a musician that you guys are working with, or?
Well, I have put forward your name.
I have someone in mind.
I don't know if I could write a whole libretto, but I mean, maybe. I don't know if I could possibly. But.
John A. McDonald, man.
Just rip off Hamilton.
It's going to be really great. Believe me, it's going to be really great.
And I believe you.
What's the topic?
As soon as I know that I can take it, we're pretty well going to have our third meeting this Monday, and I will see if it's time to, since you're showing such interest.
I like the idea, and I'm also like, I'm so busy, I can't do anything, which is a bad scene, but I could hook you up with a couple of very amazing librettists that I know. I know everybody.
Chris knows literally everyone. It's kind of weird.
I think Veda Hilly would probably get down into that.
Oh, Veda Hilly would be all over that shit. Mm-hmm. She's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be a Sunshine Coast initiated play, musical theater, and I'm sure it'll go bigger than that. We'll come over to Vancouver.
It's gonna tour.
Yes.
That's cool. So I was reflecting the other day that I'm like pretty, I really like your life right now, and in comparison to how mine's been feeling a little rocky, that I'm like, my mom's just writing a play, and then she also has a pension from a really steady job. Turns out that's like very great and something that my generation doesn't really have access to.
Well,
I do have a pension.
I have a pension too. We have a very unusual situation.
No, we're shit.
I have a tiny pension. Yeah, it's a pension.
I don't know if I can actually like access any of it, but if I stay in public service,
if you don't die, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all you have to do is not die.
But I don't have the flexibility to leave this job anymore if I want to keep the pension, which is kind of how they get you.
That's how they get their shit hooks into you.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for the pension.
I bet.
And it is a hard thing to speak about with people. You know, I was there too when I was 50 thinking, oh, freedom 55, please, please. But the years do go quickly. And if you've invested in something and you're paying it off, it is so great to have the full scope of your salary. I have some savings, which is helpful, but I'd like to be able to survive on my pension.
Yeah.
And not tap into it. I did just the other day for Christmas. But I have an emergency fund if I suddenly have to go on a trip.
Just suddenly.
Emergency vacation.
Yes, especially if Christina wants to go.
Oh, I love you two have for each other. You have a wonderful relationship.
We had sort of thought about Scotland and Norway and
Iceland.
Oh, just a chilly little roundabout.
I know, it's cold. We would have to do it in the summer.
Yes.
It would still be cold, but it would be good.
I think I have good friends. I have a group that I meet with every second Friday. And retirement is, at this point, living and being comfortable with the unknown. Mm-hmm. I've given myself a year to see what comes up. But, you know, I recognize if I could be deteriorating, like sleeping in. And, you know, it's that's a temptation. But I really want to keep active.
I mean, that sounds
like
great.
Like you said.
I love sleeping.
I know. Like what you said, always trying to take things to the next level.
Right.
That's just me.
Push it to the
limit. Yeah, well, we're both Capricorns in that way, too, where it's like, you're like, oh, I could give myself a whole year to relax while I scope out new opportunities. And, like, I remember you were saying that you're maybe going to go do a master's degree and some kind of...
I'm not going to do that, I loved what you said. Like, when Christina heard how I wanted to go into communications, she sort of, after listening, said, I think you really want to go into performing arts. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So I've explored a few things, but there's a cost involved and
there's
a time element, and there's so many practical ways to do it right away.
So with your Toastmasters speaking group, that was something that you were doing like in the morning before work, getting,
Wednesday mornings.
You know, polishing up your public speaking, which I always thought you were great at, giving presentations as a nurse and facilitating workshops and whatever. So when you said, oh, I want to improve my public speaking, I thought, well, that's dumb. Like, you're already good at it. But it turns out, like, now you're giving these, like, polished 2-minute, like, good communications, like, people understand the whatever, and humorous speeches. And I came and saw a few, and they were very lovely. But then...
The humorous, well, they weren't that humorous, were they, the ones you saw?
You're like magic dishcloth.
Oh, that one. Oh, you came to that. Yes, that was 2 years ago. And that's what set me off. It was so fun to do. And it was a bit of a fantasy. That was a tall tale category. So
right, I remember the tall tale
people
discussion.
People really encouraged me to think outside the box. And it was loads of fun. And the more you do it, the better you enjoy doing it. The audience can feel that. But they really didn't think it was a tall tale. I was talking about
and
a magic
I'm pretty sure you have
cloth.
A magic cleaning cloth.
They did. I believe they came up to me.
They thought it was just a metaphor for something real,
no,
or
no? They thought it was a real cleaning cloth that was super.
Is it microfiber?
That's or? What they
wanted. Is it melamine foam? What's it made of?
People had all these
ideas.
It's
like ideas a magic eraser.
And they bring me
no,
presents.
It's a story.
Yes.
But the thing that I like about that is then from there, you went to hosting gigs. So
yes.
Our past guest, Joe Dvorak, does Story Story Lie.
Mm-hmm.
She brought that to the Sunshine Coast, and Mom was her co-host
yes.
and co-facilitator for hooking that up. They did it at a brewery, which was very cute.
Persephone
yes. Brewing. And Mom co-hosted, which I thought was really fun. So how did you like that experience of like hosting a sort of
a
comedy
lot.
Story show?
Was it really packed in
well,
there?
Well,
it was.
Full house.
Great.
And Christina was very supportive.
She
was
is
I did,
very supportive.
I did all the sound tech stuff, turns out.
Yes.
I needed to hook up the PA and
this
stuff.
She's an incredibly
so I was glad
supportive
yes,
person.
I hadn't really experienced that on that level. Like, she came with a glass of water, and there were a few things that she just asked, and you were wonderful.
I've run some shows before,
yes.
it turns out.
A thing or two, turns out.
So that was, that really was
a like, I guess I'm figuring out the PA. I'm doing gestures that will never be seen.
But Joe was great. She was directive. I needed to know what was expected of me, and
mm-hmm.
what I enjoyed was finding a bit more about the speakers. And she said, warm the crowd. You do that well, right? And just get everybody comfortable. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a second opportunity to host an open mic. Did I tell you
oh,
that,
yes.
Christina?
That's
but
so cool.
Please tell me
I
again.
It
was a writer's open mic. And so when I got there, no, I asked ahead of time for all the writers, and it was very similar, just to warm the crowd and to give a little intro. And the amount of diversity and creativity, poetry, it was very inspiring.
Awesome.
So I'll do that, not as host, I was replacing someone that was on holiday, but to actually participate. So the Sunshine Coast, things are happening that way.
Nice.
It's a great place to live, and everyone's really fun, and yeah.
It sounds like a really fantastic spot for you.
Yeah. So
that's
retiring,
awesome.
I had thought maybe travel, but it's great to be there.
Kind
of you're traveling inside of
that's right.
Of Gibson's.
Discovering it from a different perspective.
Yeah. Very much, because before, you know, as a nurse you would go around and be in people's homes and
yeah.
But now you can just be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you
and
can
you get to decide what that means.
Oh yes.
Which is very exciting.
It's cool.
Really nice.
That feels like a lovely place to end.
All
thank
right.
you, Mom, for
you.
Chatting with us. We're hopefully going to be back with some other folks to talk about their 2017 year in review and
yeah.
their goals for the future.
Here's
in
my prediction. They're going to say it was shit and they hope next year's better.
That seems to be
wasn't,
a common theme.
Wasn't it last year that we were really
everyone
not
wanted
sure.
2016 to end, and now this one was even worse, turns
it was,
out.
It was pretty bad. Not as many famous people died, but it turned out a lot of famous people were monsters. So it's tough in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll be back. We're back and we're up in the studio now because the party's gotten too raucous to podcast.
Too raucous for podcast. But who do we have here?
Hello!
It's our past guest, Erin, from episode 9, I believe.
Oh, geez, that was a long time
and
ago.
And I believe
so
you were on my
back.
Last birthday episode, too.
I was.
That?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like this is very familiar. I've been
yeah.
through this before.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've had many people tell me that your episode is their favorite.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Because I was just like a little goth girl in
teen
the 90s.
Goth.
Teen goth.
Teen goth squad.
So
good.
Squad goals.
Squad goals.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you had
Katie
to be
invented
there.
A not new hashtag, but
yeah.
for swaddling babies,
squad
goals. Squad
goals. And it actually exists.
If you think it, someone else already did.
On the internet especially.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Teen Goth Squad needs its own, like, very Cure-style theme, where it's
mm-hmm.
like, Teen Goth Squad.
Da-na-da-da. Yeah, heavy makeup.
Teen Goth Squad.
Lots of reverb.
Now.
Oh,
yeah.
Guys, speaking of babies, I have a baby. I have two babies.
You have two pretty old babies. Your babies are really old.
They're really old, and it's really hard. I have a 14-year-old baby.
Yeah.
Oh, God, why?
How's that 14-year-old doing?
It's interesting.
The questions that we're asking today is, how is your 2017? So what is it like
Ooh.
Having, like, a real teenager
puberty.
Now?
Puberty sucks.
Tell me about it.
Oh, my God. I just, you know, I think that when I was 14, and I was...
Things were different.
Things were different, and, like... when I tried to talk to my mom about how I was feeling and, like, trying to, like, say, you know, is this normal? Should I be feeling this way? This is what's going on. She had no idea. She was so detached. Like, what? No, I'm a professional, and I'm a mom, and right. I'm working, and I don't understand you. You're weird, and life is weird.
Used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just, like...
Life's weird, get used to it.
Yeah. Life's weird, get used to it. But, like, now, when I have a 14-year-old of my own, I'm like, oh, my God. All the 14-year-old memories come surging back so vividly. Like, I remember feeling this way, and I know exactly what you're going through.
How do you relate to your kid now, then? Do you try to maintain an air of, like, detached momness, or do you, get right in there?
I gotta get right down in the shits with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard because he's a boy, so for me, I wasn't a 14-year-old boy, but I knew 14-year-old boys were awful.
They're so gross.
They were the worst.
Yours is, like, the best of the best.
I think so.
But that's, like, a pretty bad batch.
The bar is pretty low. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's interesting.
I'm a good boy.
Yeah. So it's a lot of, like, reliving the trauma of junior high school with my own progeny and just trying to figure out, how can I guide you in the right direction? He's fine, but it brings back all those memories.
Yeah. And the intensity of feelings. Oh. My God. I mean, I still feel that intensely as I always did, but now I have context and a frame of reference. Mm-hmm.
You have, yeah.
So, but can you imagine feeling that and never having felt that before? Oh, those things? My God.
I invented how this feels.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just... totally offside, but it just goes to I invented how this feels. It was something I was reading at work yesterday when I wasn't working. Sorry, work. I was watching please leave it in. I think it will be funnier. Chris moved as if, I will edit this out for you. I'm like, no, I don't deserve your help.
We work for the same place. It's fine.
It's cool. And they don't care because no one's listening. But anywho's all.
This is buried after 30 minutes of talking to my mom in a crowded room. Okay, no, I'm done. Listening to this.
It's just like absolutely anything you say.
There's no dirt on Katie on this episode.
I just completely blanked. What was I talking about?
Something that about I invented.
I remember.
This.
Okay, so I invented this. It was an Ask Reddit thread, which I don't like Reddit, but I like Ask Reddit because it's just people pose a question and thousands of people answer it, and then the best answers move up to the top. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun to just dick about when you don't really have a project that's immediately due or something like that.
Good to know.
So there was one that was, what is the worst thing you ever did as a kid before you knew better? And the second one was a kid who was like, I tried to teach my parents masturbation.
Oh my God! What?
Was like, I didn't just get caught humping a couch. I called my parents to the den and gave them a live demonstration of how to make my penis feel good.
That's a new thing that no one has ever experienced before.
And I was like, and I offered to let my dad have a go.
Wow, only on Reddit.
He was like, I only remembered this a little while ago, and because they've never brought it up again.
For the best.
It's that experience of like, this for the first time, nobody else knows what this is.
I need to tell everyone because this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Or this is fucking terrible.
And terrible and awesome. Yeah, terrible.
The feelings that you have at between ages like 6 and 15. You're having those feelings for the first time. I'm not convinced children under 5 have feelings other than happy, sad, or scared.
Or hungry. Or
angry. Or pooped.
Or pooped. Yeah,
or
a
they
lot of
pooped
poop.
On themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The emotions of children are a lot simpler. They are much stronger, but... Mm-hmm. And then you get into adolescence, or late childhood and adolescence, and it's just like...
So confusing.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
You know, I remember on one of our earlier episodes that we had with you, Erin, we were talking about kids and expressing their emotions and that your kid was already being like, I have a lot of feelings and I don't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. What's that like now translated into being a teenager? Is that same emotional intelligence carrying on?
I think so. He's become a little detached from his feelings. He knows how to compartmentalize, which I certainly did not know how to do. Like, we're very, very different emotionally as teenagers. When he feels that rush of emotion, he's able to just say, nope, here's a wall. I've built it.
Boy.
And it's not gonna affect me. But at the same time, you kind of need to deal let with that them happen.
Too. Yeah.
And so I talked to him a lot about what are some kind of outlets you can have. You know, when I was a teenager, I wrote a lot of really bad poetry. Oh, it was...
Do you have any of it anymore? Can
no.
You find any of it?
Oh, it's no. Gone? It's gone. No, it wasn't online because it was pre-online.
Okay.
I'm much older than you guys. So there was no online, thank God. But I was like, you gotta be able to express it. And, you know, he plays music, but he doesn't play music as an outlet. It's more of an academic exercise. Mm-hmm. So, and he doesn't want to write. And I'm just like, you have to find some kind of outlet to get this out, or else it's not going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Hopefully he finds that.
I think he will, eventually.
It takes a while. It took me forever to find. I mean, I like to write. I always did. But I... You know, just writing, like, angry poetry doesn't really make you feel less angry. Sometimes it makes you feel way angrier.
Sure.
Think, like, you're just, like, really, like, beating and feeling the emotions. It's a really fun time.
It legitimates what you're actually doing, and you're like, oh, more of that.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm mad, I just try to get madder. Do you ever do that? You're just like, what else can I be so pissed off about? Yep. I've been doing that a lot this year.
Twitter's for.
2017, everybody.
get madder.
My outlet of, like, playing music has gone so to the back burner that I'm just like, is it even an outlet for me? It feels more like a stressor for me to play music, which is a sad thing.
Aww.
So this night, I'm hoping, is going to be good. Yeah, we've got an amazing pianist downstairs. Mm-hmm. Pianist.
We have a
great pianist.
We have a 5'10" pianist downstairs.
Plus a mandolin player, plus some guitar player.
Is
so
it you?
Could it be?
Are you the mandolin player?
And so
player?
I'm very excited to whip out my cello. So
she said it. Out. She's going to whip out the
so
cello.
So we didn't actually say, so, you know, your kid's year has been, how has your year been? That's been maybe a forefront of your...
It's been fine. I mean, I think I've had chickens for 2 years now. So it's the year of the chicken is over. I think last year at this time...
I love your rooster.
But, like, literally the Chinese year the rooster was last year. It's going to be the monkey this year.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, monkey's coming up. It's going to be
playful. Yeah,
fun.
I like that. Oh, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, come the monkey.
I think last year...
You know he is throwing poo.
We should do Alice in Chains for a jam. That'd be so fun.
Absolutely. I'd be so into that.
Can I just put forth that one of the things I can do vocally is imitate almost any grunge singer.
Oh, I bet
I do an unbelievable Eddie Vedder.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, later tonight...
Here that's we a go. Little taste.
Excellent.
A little taste for you.
Do you have anything that you're really looking forward to for next year? Any cool things on the go? Or just like any... We don't want to do New Year's resolutions on this podcast, but like...
I want to relax next year because I did not relax at all this entire year. Mm-hmm. I packed every day, every night with something because I thought, time is running out. I gotta,
time for what?
I don't know. Just like for me
we're
time.
We're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die. I don't know. It's the end of the world, as we know. I think
just keep drinking your health drink. You'll do so well.
Health drink.
I'm having health drink right now. Thanks, Neutral Vodka Sodas. A health drink is just vodka and soda with fruits in it.
And you don't have to tell anyone there's vodka in it. They'll just think that you're being super healthy. Wow, that's a big, container of juicy drink. Anyways, I think this year I would like to take a step back and just have time to chill. I read one book this year, and I'm super disappointed in myself that that's all I could do. That's all I could accomplish, and that's got to get fixed.
Yes.
So.
Yeah,
I feel that.
Time.
I got Outlander, one of the Outlander books out of the library, and it's this huge tome. And over the summer, I read a bunch, and then my job just ramped up. I haven't read a book since, and I got this book out of the library, and haven't even cracked it yet. Just nothing. I got a fast read, and I read half of it, and I had to give it back, because otherwise they charge you $1 a day. I felt such a failure. A fast read.
Thanks, library.
Oh, my goodness.
Library putting extra pressure. Ew. If I just bought it, it would just sit on my shelf forever. I like the library challenge.
I love library.
I also love library.
I'm really glad that I stopped trying to do the Goodreads challenge, because I was setting myself. I was like, I'll read 50 books this year.
That's
and then if
failure.
I read 42 books, I felt like a failure.
Oh, dude. No.
Don't just
do
ridiculous.
It.
So I didn't count this year. I read probably 20 maybe 25.
I like your goal of
I work
chill
3 days a week.
I like your goal of step back more, chill out more, relax more. Mm-hmm. I'm into that. I think we should end because I hear more people coming in downstairs, and I think
exciting.
We have more guests coming up, okay?
We gotta get you back for a full episode soon because I feel like there's way more to say.
BRB.
Oh, yeah.
We're back. With Fenrir!
Yeah!
Hey, Fenrir!
I'm here.
You're here.
Thanks for making this an annual tradition to come on our... podcast for my birthday / coming to my birthday party.
Yeah, and bringing large sacks of kiwi fruits.
Large sacks of kiwi
fruits. I still have some of that kiwi jam from last year. Yeah, I cracked one jar, didn't crack another jar. I've still another jar.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
We don't need to add sugar to it, but we did.
Because, it's all an experiment.
Because we were like, this is how you make jam. You put sugar in it. And we did like not need
children
to.
Children trying to figure out how to make jam. You're like,
we read articles.
I think that sugar goes in this, and I put it in.
We read articles with science things in them that tells you, like, the science of the thing
the
and
science
why
of
you
jam.
Put different things in it.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's jam recipe.
Yes.
Neil deGrasse Mason jar. No, that's
no,
not
that was terrible. Get out of your own house.
Tyson and Mason are totally analogous.
They are not. But I like it anyway. How was your year? Was it any worse or better than ours?
Like the first part of the year, I think, was like trying to do projects with people and then not actually getting any projects done with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then my house had 3 summers. Okay. And it was like the first summer. Yeah, so the first summer was where like things were really tumultuous. And like one of my roommates shattered an elbow. And it was just like this really hard time.
Ooh, geez.
And then the second summer was when the forest fire smoke came here. And then like everyone has breathing problems. And my whole house was just like a wreck.
You're just all nerds with inhalers.
Together.
Yeah. Like, pretty much. And then the
Math
last
club
summer.
House.
Don't be
I can't
mean.
Remember.
Tell the sun not to shine, Chris. Tell me not to make fun of nerds with asthma.
I'm really nerds. I think I'm the only nerd.
Okay, but you're a pretty big nerd. So.
I'm a huge nerd. Yeah. I mean, we're all nerds, but like, I'm like the.
Is your asthma
nerd.
The worst?
You're the nerd.
No, actually. I have like the most undiagnosed. No, I have terrible lungs.
Your
I
lungs
just have,
suck.
Like, the most undiagnosed asthma of anyone in the house.
Well, I'm not going to put any of you into a locker or flush you down a toilet. I just will say sucks to your asthma. So the fire smoke was not a good time.
Oh, gosh, yeah, no. It causes cognitive issues in me. It's weird.
It causes me to make sentences that are questions?
Yeah, like that all the time?
Oh?
All of the time. Yeah, and then the end of everything's been stressful since then.
Cool. So it's been a
dog
shit
stuff.
Show, basically.
Oh,
dog
yeah.
Stuff.
Dog
oh, you
stuff.
Have a new dog.
I have a dog. She's wonderful and lovely. And she's more chill now because I put her on a different food. But, like, it's been. Dog!
Basically,
stressful.
Like having a child, kind of.
Yeah.
All except not quite as bad, probably.
Yeah, well.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's a dog.
You're saying it'd be like, okay, so it's a person who thinks they're a dog.
No, like, my roommate has this dog that's from a place overseas. And when you look at this dog and then you're asked to describe this dog, you're like, it looks like if a 5-year-old drew a dog and colored it brown. That's what this dog looks like, with the floppy ears and just a basic dog face.
It's like that's a dog. It's like a base model dog.
Basic it is.
Dog face.
It's default dog in a 3D designer.
Picture
a
dog. Do not change the picture.
Yeah. And then, like, my dog is just, like, if you tried to D-name match her, she would just come up as, like, the area that she's from, which is, like, Southeast Asian village dog. It's just what you would get. And so it's just, like, dog with pointy ears.
Okay, okay.
That's what she is.
Is it a small dog or a big dog?
Yeah, she's, like, 35 pounds, so, like,
okay, that's a good size.
Middle.
Middle-sized dog.
She sounds so cute.
She's very cute. She's very, very smart and learns very quickly. So she's very good at a lot of things already, including jumping extremely, extremely high. Like, way too high.
Like, upsettingly high.
Yeah, like, you know when you go into, like, an office
you
and
know
there's
you see
that
a dog
counter?
Jumping and it's really upsetting how high they can jump?
Yeah. It's
just it's like
actually
that.
Upsetting.
So like a pony counter, like a horse-sized counter, basically.
Yeah, like... There's a counter that you stand behind and it's still really tall to the person standing behind it.
Yeah.
She can jump up on one of those, no problem. It's very like...
That is a dog that knows how to do more things than it should.
Yeah. Sure does.
She can get into some business.
So you got a dog that has been an adventure.
Oh, super adventure.
But you survived this year.
Yeah. I survived this year. It was rough.
We all... It was really rough. Guys, it was super rough.
It was a rough year.
What are you? What are your hopes for 2018? Just make a fart noise super loud into the microphone and just walk out.
Well, I want to do, like, have projects that actually get done. That would be nice. That I really want to do that.
You There's and I one have been having, like, a scheme.
Well, yeah.
I mentioned on the podcast that I was listening to The Adventure Zone.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I finished
because
it.
Because of when we went to sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. We went to...
Oh, you went to that rugby game together?
Yeah.
And you saw the haka.
We talked about that on the podcast. We went to the All Blacks together, and you told me, it's like, oh, but the Adventure Zone, so amazing. I'm like, I'm just starting it.
Yeah.
And you're like, just wait about
just
it.
Just keep going.
Just you wait.
And it is so great.
It is.
And I...
Your whole body vibrated when
I
you said that.
I cried hard at the end. And then the after...
Oh, you finished it.
And then the Adventure Zone after that, where they talked about how it's like, this is just all for our mom. And I'm like...
Yeah, right? It's like done.
I listened to, this is a meta podcast commentary, but I listened to an interview that Travis McElroy did with, I can't remember who it was, but I'll find the link and I'll send it to you. And it's just like the most honest thing I've ever heard him. He's like, so here's how I'm a narcissist. And here is the experience I had with my mom's death, basically. So he, like, explains his experience with it and how it, like, was the first thing that ever made him think that therapy was a good idea for him and stuff. And he didn't go immediately, but he finally did start going recently, and it's really, really been helping him. And I think the Adventure Zone was something very therapeutic for them.
Yes.
And, like, being able to, like, get the whole band back together and be, like,
aww.
The, like, creativity and sweetness of their mother comes through in it, I think.
It just was so nice.
Yeah. But anyways, we've been plotting... Or actually, I've been, like, plotting since I started listening to The Adventure Zone at the beginning of the year, where I was like, hey, entire house that I live in, it's hard to get us all together for a house meeting once every couple of weeks, but how about we do a D&D group? Because I've got a cool idea, but might not work with D&D. And then you started listening to The Adventure Zone, and I'm like, hey, do you want to do this thing?
Yes.
Do you want to do this thing?
And so I'm just like, I want to play a game, so I want to play Monster Hearts, and I want to record that.
Yeah.
But I also, you have an original game. That
I have an original game.
That I would really like to.
Nerd.
But it's like, and we were talking about it, it's like, I want to record it all.
Yeah.
So that it's finished.
Yeah.
And then we can release it in little segments, but I don't want to do it as an ongoing thing. I don't want to
you
have
wanna
to...
You want to do something like...
I want to do something that is fully...
Discreet is the word. Like the,
yeah, that's fully and complete, and we do, like, a campaign over a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That is many hours of sessions, and we break it up into hour-long chunks or whatever. Or
yeah,
however
or, like,
long.
How it, like, feels... Storytelling.
However storytelling-wise feels good. And then Fender and I were just like, yeah, I don't want to do something that's not produced like a radio show. I'm like, I want to produce something like a radio show. So
yeah, awesome. I want to... Radio
and
showed up.
Like, you're an amazing musician, and so
Thank
am I.
You.
And so we can totally we can work together.
I've written both of you into my web series as ghost musicians. I can write you out just as easily. That's not a threat. That's just if you don't want to do it. But yeah,
like
I wrote you in as like these little weird ghosties that live in this house and just play creepy music all the time.
Yeah.
So you're on the,
that's
the song. You're on the,
in my core.
Yeah. I'm only going to do this if I can do it so that I pay you guys like the basic minimum performer wage. So,
if I
get the pilot together, then I'll be knocking on your door. So that's one of my goals for 2018.
Yeah. Nice.
Projects. I want to be in projects.
2018
I love projects.
These are our projects.
So we had relax and projects. So two different
not mutually exclusive,
mutually
building
exclusive.
In relax. This is something that I need to learn to do, which is just rest while I'm doing things. Like
take
a break because I think I have to finish things before I can really take a break.
Right.
And then I just want to keep being on break. Because doing the things is so stressful.
Oh.
But if I figure out how to implement breaks within projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to be fucking cruising, my dudes.
Nice,
yeah.
nice.
I will be cruising.
Nice. Thank you, Fenrir. I'm really excited to maybe get to
do
some...
Do a thing.
I shouldn't say maybe get to do a thing. I would like to do that
We should
thing.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Let's do the thing.
And if your housemates are going to play... But I kind of want to also be a character, too.
No, my housemates are too busy.
Well, we'll find some people to do a
find
thing.
People.
I bet you I know some people who would be really invested
and
interested in doing this.
Who would really want to do this thing that is in my brain. That starts with basically a magical fight on a sky
people
train.
With
on a sky train.
Get people with really good radio voices transit. To do this.
Yes, and it's
yeah.
so you were saying it's
Tessa
urban.
Would lose her shit
it's urban fantasy.
She'd be super good at it.
It's
urban fantasy.
It's like
goth.
The gnomes are your baristas, and witches tend to work in IT and stuff like that.
That tracks with what I understand to be everything.
Yeah, it's
real.
I'm very excited exactly. about this.
That sounds so wonderful.
It's very like direct parallels to like real life, but magic is. Totally
I bet
there.
You I could help you guys put together a team of like 100% queer weirdos.
Oh yeah, that's
if you want.
Yeah, because like
that's what I want. That's all I want.
Yeah,
but everybody who's like real good on the mic.
Yeah, whenever I have a project, it's mostly just like I really like this one type of media, but I want a queer version of it, and that doesn't exist. And everyone I know is queer,
so I
have to make it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Great. Let's all do it.
Let's make the weird yeah. stuff, the queer stuff.
Okay. Love you guys. Bye. It's Hillary!
Hillary's here!
Hi.
It's me, Hillary. Hi, it's me, Hillary. I'm wearing a cool sweater.
Yeah, that's how I talk.
That's my impression of you.
She took my theme. Did we even talk about how the theme of my party was hygge?
Hygge and gesellig.
And I want everyone to bring, like, candles and then wear their coziest shit. Hillary brought me a jar full, like a giant pickle jar full of string lights that she can control with a remote control, and wore the most beautiful sweater, flecked with gold, and the fuzziest socks ever, and I just love how...
I am bound by the girl code to let you know that the sweater has pockets.
It doesn't. You've been hiding a tiny, tiny bottle of gin in it all night.
No, I drank the gin.
The gin is in you now.
I drank an entire half bottle of gin, i.e. a single ounce.
Yeah,
because it was a 2 ounce
bottle. A half tiny airplane-sized bottle of gin, which I've been saving for you.
Because I drank the first ounce the last time I was here for a
Raider,
party.
And Raider, she's fucked up. She's off her tits.
How many people are reading your podcast at this point?
We don't actually have it transcribed. I'm so sorry to anyone who is hearing impaired.
Well,
but they don't know
because
they can't hear this.
Wow. Wow.
Katie.
Things took a terrible turn. I blame Katie.
If we actually had like a listenership, I probably would transcribe this podcast.
Oh, let's also update everyone listening at home mm-hmm. with the fact that I'm also wearing extremely fuzzy socks. I brought extra special socks to change into after I got here.
They match your actual socks that you're wearing underneath them.
No, I took those socks off so that the extremely soft fuzzy parts could be touching my skin for extra comfort.
Oh, nice. I just wanted everyone to feel so cozy and cuddly.
I'm like bit too cozy.
I felt so comfortable that I just spilled a bunch of curry down the front of me and then you had to wash my dress for me.
And then I gave you a new dress.
Yeah.
And I look great.
Yeah, you do look great.
Yeah.
I would buy you a green dress, but not
no,
a real
only
green
a black,
dress. That's cool.
Only a black dress. Because that's what you can spill curry on, and it's fine.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that doesn't have, like, a terrible grease stain on it now.
Well, it's in my dryer, so now my dryer has grease in it, apparently.
Oh.
Well,
you're fine.
I rinsed it pretty good.
You washed it with some
food. That's specifically against the instructions of dryers, P.S. Shh. I love that they tell you not to wash or dry anything that's ever had any oil touched, and I'm like, what do you think you're for? Like, what is your...
Guess how greasy my body is.
Like, I don't know
plenty,
what you think
I'll say.
That the purpose of these machines
is
oh,
do.
Okay.
So how is your 2017?
A lot. I don't know. I feel like the TLDR is good. The behind that is like, wow. A lot.
Overall,
good.
Good.
Better than last year?
I don't remember last year. So
you know what? I fucking don't either, so.
I mean, fair question, but when you asked me that, I was like, my mind just went blank, and I was
you
like,
just, like,
I
heard buzzing.
I could imagine the numerals 2016, and, like, that's all I got. I was like, well, I actually
it's just
don't
like
know.
The sound of like trying to find a radio station and
yeah.
not finding it.
So I'm sure that it was a year, and I had it.
And you had it. You were there.
Yeah. So this year has had a lot of like upheaval and chaos
uh-huh.
In like most areas of my life.
Uh-huh.
So that's been good. It's been like
sometimes
mostly
change is good.
Yeah. It's been generally changes that are. Overall and in the end good, but wow, friends, change is fucking hard and
it's so tiring.
Yeah, so
and you're not allowed to just sleep 15 hours a day, it turns out.
No, I mean technically there's no law, but yeah,
but there are some secret police enforcing this and they
yeah.
live inside my own brain.
For me, it's
they
capitalism.
Will never let me sleep,
but
it is capitalism. Those are the capitalism
yeah,
is the
so
secret police.
I don't know. I moved twice.
Oof.
Marone.
You moved into a really lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
And then had to leave the place.
And then I had to, because it was a sublet. And I moved into another lovely place, but the difference is that, like, in the summer, this summer, I really felt like, yeah, I've got it all together. I've figured out support and, like, support systems and structures that really work for me, and everything's going so great. And then it was August, and it was like, whoop, and, like, ripped the carpet out and was like, well, it's fine. I'll just change how everything is at work and also move into a completely new place. And also, it was just, like, a lot of things. But yeah, I think everything has been moving in good directions.
But the movement is painful.
Yes, the movement, and it's also one of those, like, so often I'm like, why am I always picking the choices where I'm like, so I don't seem to have any, models to look at or, ways that I know that other people have done this thing? Great, I guess
I'm just... choosing your own path, like a weirdo.
I know, what the fuck is my problem?
You keep flipping to page 92, I know. And everyone else flips to page 84.
I know, I'm just more like, wouldn't it be more fun if we just wrote our own story on paper outside the book? And then I'm like, wow, thinking is hard.
Wow, there are no resources for this path.
Yeah, basically, yes. Yeah, that's how my life has been.
To be a trailblazer, it can be a lonely time.
This year and last year, and just, it's been ongoing, but there's also good things. I have a 1 year anniversary coming up on Thursday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who is super cool, past guest, Ray.
Yeah. And I have a big in love with them.
They're very cool.
Yeah. And it's really, really nice. That relationship is going extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the nicest, healthiest, bestest relationship probably I've ever had.
Aww, no and, shock, though. What a special person both of you are.
Yeah, and it's just, so that's, like, the major highlight of the past year, and, like, the thing that has made all
in
of
Cyprus.
The... Yeah, they have a really good dog. so, my relationship with them is definitely the thing that has made all of the upheaval and stress of the past year a lot easier and more bearable. My relationship with Elsbeth's going really well, but there's a lot of, like, I know, distance is fucking hard.
Mm-hmm. Long distance shit sucks.
Yeah. And it's just one of those relationships that's always going to be long distance. And so it's another one of those things that it's, like, hard to have models for that because I feel like I know lots of people who've had very successful long distance relationships, but they have always been long distance as a phase.
Yeah.
To be
endured until you, like, are no distance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's doing its own thing. But it's still really good. It's just like, again, I picked the thing with no instruction manual.
Growth and change and learning is hard.
Yeah. But all in all, I would say the short answer is 2017. Pretty good. The long answer is like, fucking 2017, man. What the fuck?
We had a lot
and
of...
And then, like, six more paragraphs, probably.
Yeah, we had a lot of, like, many interactions of just, like, everything is awful, and then be like, let's be awesome about all the things that we're awesome about, and then there was a lot of dips and dives.
Chris and I have been work pals for over a year now, so we've been work pals the entirety of 2017.
Holy shit.
And, yeah. There's definitely been a lot of treading water the past few months of like, let's fix everything is changing and new
Try
and difficult and
die.
And changing again and we just figured it out.
At least we can commiserate a lot where, you know, this past week we were just like, retrograde.
Fucking retrograde so hard.
Every three times a year, you fuck me.
God, please rewrite that as a song parody. Retrograde.
You make communication fuck me. Yeah.
Anyways,
I read some cards last week. That was pretty good. So,
nice.
Yeah. This podcast.
When
will this episode come out?
This is gonna come out on Boxing Day.
All right, then I can tell you that I've made some pretty cute presents for my sweetheart.
Oh my!
Yeah, including,
but not limited to.
Get this, Ray. If I haven't given you a present yet, turn off the sound.
I don't think Ray's listening to this.
You know, I don't think they are either, but I'm just trying to...
Ray! Ray! Do what you must do.
Cypress, you're a good boy. No, I sew them a, like, plushy stuffed whale.
Oh.
Because one of their nicknames for me is Toy Whale.
Toy Whale.
It was through some series of autocorrect, substitutions. I forget even how it happened, but then it just stuck. So, you know that really, really cute whale emoji?
Yes.
It's like, that's me.
Yes, that tracks.
So I sewed one out of minky fabric, so it's a minky whale.
Oh, minky whale. Oh, my God. Okay, so I was thinking about you last week because we went to Chris and I and past guest on this episode, Aaron. Mm-hmm. We and past guest Allison, who's not at this episode, we went to the press box and did karaoke and we were very wasted. And I got hit on by a guy whose name I kept remembering as Pancake. And I was like, so I was thinking, stack of pancakes.
That's me. That's my body type. I know.
I know. That's why I thought of it. It's because you were like, I'm a stack of pancakes. But his name was actually.
I don't talk like that, though.
Horseshit. His name was Flapjack. I
got confused. Which is better.
Like, he's like, hey, I like your voice. You got a beautiful singing voice. My name's Flapjack. I'd like to take you out. I just played him off. I hugged him, though. He was really cute. He was like a cute fella.
I wish that you could let Flapjack take you out so that you could have some...
I wish Flapjack could take me to the fucking Moulin Rouge, but it's not there anymore. Yeah. I'm so sad. Yeah. I want Flapjack to take me to a diner.
Well, there's still time.
There's still time. We can always go back to the press box.
I mean, Flapjack is probably there right now.
I mean...
2018, you're a Flapjack. You're being a stack of pancakes.
I mean, I'm holding steady, so.
Do you have anything that you're looking forward to for 2018 in terms
no.
of
like...
but just like in terms of like, I don't know, anything you're looking for.
Just like anything.
Just maintaining.
Continuing to breathe.
Okay, sorry.
In therapy on Friday, we did a future, like thinking about the future exercise.
That's what I'm trying to do
because
now.
Well, they asked me recently, they're like, yeah, so, you know, like, what kind of plans or hopes or dreams do you have for or goals do you have for the future? And I was like, I guess I haven't done that. And I was like, oh, interesting that I haven't looked forward. So, yeah, I'm figuring that out. I drew a very abstract picture with pencil crayons at my therapy
appointment. Like, Luann, it's dignity. It's dignity.
I don't think any of them were dignity, but it's unclear because some of them we were not sure what they were. So, okay. I don't know.
Some amorphous blobs.
I'm onwards and...
outwards.
Hopefully you'll keep upwards. To your own motto where it's like, today, don't die.
Yeah.
Don't kill yourself.
Yeah. I have an inspirational poster that's just my face staring off into the middle distance. Then on top of my face it says, every day, don't kill yourself.
It's a really important motto, honestly.
It's all we can hope for
yeah,
the next
year. It's my inspirational slogan.
I've been lucky that I haven't been feeling particularly suicidal ideate over the last year, although I would be like, I wonder how bad it would be to be dead. It might be okay.
I haven't wanted to die. I've just wanted to not be alive. But, like,
exactly.
Specifically, I didn't want to be mm-hmm. dead. Just, like, what if I just weren't alive for
what if
a
I,
while?
What if
wow,
I was just
being alive is a lot.
In a coma or something
yeah,
for
I just
a bit
to,
of
like,
time.
Yeah, I just wanted to, pause for a bit, so.
This is my feeling. Is like, it's sad that there's not that option to mm-hmm. just, like, hit pause for, like, 2 weeks. Let's take 2 weeks of vacation and just have a little coma.
And then someone pointed out to me, would it even be 2 weeks? Because how is time? And I was like, you know what? Don't take this away from me.
Don't. Shut your butt. Shut your butt.
Don't take this away.
So apparently we all just need to, like, go to Mexico,
go
girls.
To Mexico, girls. Get some margaritas. Get a green bag. But what you were saying that in therapy, being asked to make goals. Or, like, what are your goals?
Gosh.
What are your plans? Because if somebody asked me that, I'd be like, oh, shit. And I was like, well, I do stand-up comedy. Like, well, do you want to be a famous stand-up comedian? I was like, oh, no. No.
Luckily,
do you want to be on TV? Ugh.
Luckily, I have a really great therapist who is also like, cool, but let's also, like, dismantle all ableist notions of what goals are. Because my therapist is a dream. So
nice.
What a dream.
Yep.
What a perfect
yep.
baby.
It's so good. It's good.
That's
so
great.
So, yeah, things that are happening
so
are
nice.
I
I try to do, like, around end of the year, New Year's, like, do relationship check-ins with some of the important relationships in my life, just to be like, hey, how did the year go? What was good? What was bad? How are things right now? What are our, like, what are our hopes and thoughts and feelings and stuff for the next year? So we know that about each other. So that's my very short-term thing. And then, I don't know, more nesting.
That's good. Are you
figuring out, like, good things at my job, figuring out, like, just ways to make that smooth and good and sustainable.
You like the place you moved into, or?
Yeah.
You made a beautiful house since last. You painted it, it's all pretty.
You don't have those terrible neighbors anymore.
No.
That used to yell outside your window all the time.
No, I do not. It's great.
In terms of not having yelling neighbors, it's like 100% better.
And I have 14 potted plants in my room. So
that's incredible. Nice. I cannot keep plants alive.
I love it.
Hillary is a fucking green thumb wizard.
I have Googled a lot about plants. That's fantastic. Mainly what I've done. And I pick plants that are hard to kill.
Spider plants.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, they're great. Those are good. They are very hard to kill.
I have a spider plant, a Kalanchoe that I took from work, because the one we had turned out to be three trying to live in the same pot, and it wasn't going well for them.
No.
I got a ZZ plant and a snake plant and an aloe.
I want an aloe, too.
And two... What are those ones called?
You got any succulents?
The aloe is a succulent.
The aloe is a succulent.
I mean, if you think about it, the jade is also technically a succulent.
It's quite succulent.
I have three African violets, or relatives of the genre, and one viney type plant that grows really fast that my ex-housemate gave to me. I just replanted it and made a sweet, sweet macrame hanger from scratch with no patterns.
What?
So. Yep, I'll show you pictures when we're done.
Holy
was that
shit.
The thing you were working on in the hallway and then the cat undid it?
Yeah. Well, it didn't undo it. I was just like, right, you can only work on macrame in the hallway until the cat finds you.
Yes.
And then you gotta move to your room.
That sounds so like more terror. It's like, I'm working on the macrame until the cat finds me.
So don't do macrame around cats. Check in with your relationships. Set goals in a non-ableist way. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. And, you know, my main slogan is fucking up with integrity. So I'm gonna just try to continue to do that.
And every day, don't kill yourself.
Every day, don't kill yourself.
Don't do it.
Yeah, nice.
Hello.
I didn't save it for the podcast.
We were just talking about how my idea for like a buffet salad spread was a good one.
It is. I'm eating some of it right now.
It's tasty.
I had to stop and put it down so we could record again.
Yeah.
I'm furious.
I mean, we've already like done our time, but now I just have so many really lovely, awesome people in my house that I just been like, come up for 5 minutes, I swear.
Hey, we used to do hour and a half episodes. We've done some 2-hour episodes.
Oh my goodness.
No one's going to fucking marathon. Send us to podcast jail.
Yeah.
We do long, it's up to us.
No podcast, please.
Well, there probably should be, let's be honest. We should have gone to jail a long time ago.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
They should put us away for a long time.
Well, but it's a beautiful birthday party.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
I honestly, you were just like, oh, your smile is so big. I'm like, yeah, this is the happiest I've felt in a very long time.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And it was because... two reasons. A, Katie being like, I will take care of all the things.
Thank God for
so
friends.
So she cooked two...
You gotta have friends.
A vegetarian and vegan curry for everybody and did all my dishes.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing, which I wasn't even planning to do, but they were just there. I'm like, I'm gonna do some dishes, but first I'm gonna do this. And Katie just did them while I was doing the other thing. Like
next level friendship.
Yeah, like what a fucking gem.
Yeah.
And so
it's how I manage my social anxiety is by doing chores. Just doing chores.
So I just felt extremely well taken care of. And then I also like... I knew that, like, all I want to do is isolate myself when I'm stressed out.
Yep, same.
I just want to be by myself. It's my only child business. Like, I just want to be alone. I'm like, no. I refuse. I'm going to go against that. I know that I feel better. Yeah. I'm an only child, but I'm an extrovert. So I need to regenerate by, like, being with people.
Yeah. Totally.
And so I'm going to invite all these people over, and then I'm going to isolate myself up here in the studio with you guys to have a conversation.
Well, yeah, your party's hygge-themed, as our episodes have mostly been for the last several
everything's
weeks.
Everything's cozy. The whole living room is just lit with beautiful candles, and everyone's playing music. My roommate's leading everyone in a jam downstairs. It's very sweet.
It's great.
And
it's a great party. It's very nice and chill, and it's always kind of the right amount of people are here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very quaint. It smells lovely down there.
Yeah, there's someone brought me a really nice scented candle that, like, I think is a good scent.
Yeah, they don't make very many nice smelling scented candles, I think.
And it's one with an X wick made of wood.
So it crackles?
It crackles!
Yeah. Oh, I love those. Yes. They actually, they have them, if you can find them unscented in the dollar store, like, they're pretty decent, but the scented ones stink, right? Like, they're gonna, I got a purple one for Tessa. Here's the thing, she forgot to blow it out all night and left it, and it just didn't evaporate at all. Like, it's just, all the wax just stayed melted, I blew it out, and then the whole candle is still there. It burned all night. It's so weird. It was like a weird, like, self-perpetuating candle. Mm. Thanks, dollar store. Yeah. What weird magics do you hold?
But, so that was all a very extremely long rambling thing to say. I'm really glad you're here, Karina.
Karina's here.
Thank you.
Because I cast the net extremely wide on, like, friends to invite. I'm just like, I want everyone to have the option to come, and whoever comes,
it will be great. Cool.
And I'm really happy to see you. It's been a really long time. How are
I'm
you
super
doing?
Happy to be. Well, I think I'd probably be on theme in terms of what you're saying people's years were. You were saying
they're bad. Kind
of, they've been bad.
They're bad.
Yeah. So I definitely feel the same way. There's been a lot of isolating, and I similarly need to be around the humans to get re-energized. So
it's so much easier to not do it and just stay home.
So much easier. So I started by, you know, doing my baking therapy, and I made gingerbread vegan cupcakes, and I brought some.
Thank you for cupcakes.
Yay. Debated just staying in a blanket and pajamas, but here
but
I am.
But you got gussied up. You look like a million bucks, and
thank
here
you
are.
Very much. Thank you very much. But
in your wine-colored French lace top.
Oh my goodness, you're telling them what I look like.
Well, only if they've heard this episode by the time you leave tonight. Is that going to be dangerous for you?
I think I'm going to be okay.
This doesn't come out till Boxing Day, so you're safe. So, but don't come back wearing this on New Year's.
Oh my God. I will not.
So much murder.
No, I don't think so.
Nobody gets killed.
I like none of the killing.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet.
I'm a little terrified.
2017's been kind of fucked up, guys.
So on that note, the last time I was here, we had spoken about some hard times. Tracy Morrison had just died, and that was kind of like the beginning of like essentially like 5 months worth of just grief and loss and pain and challenges. You know, I think after that I witnessed many ODs and attended to many ODs. We lost a colleague last month, and we recently found out he had killed himself. So that's been super fucked up.
Oh, geez.
We've gone through job fairs and redesigns and job insecurity to job security and family in the hospital and people losing family. It feels like it has not stopped. So I'm very happy to see 2017 take a hike.
See fuck the off. Ass end of 2017.
Get the fuck out.
Yes.
Get out.
Get
leave
out.
Us all more behind. So yeah, looking forward to
looking back.
Looking forward to looking back. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting
Thank
it.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure that was the theme of my yearbook in grade 10. I think I stole
you
that from
no credit then.
Sans junior secondary. Goodness.
Yeah. So I don't know what other people are looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to job security. That feels like a very adult
Is that something
thing.
That is coming, that is
This
in
is the
place?
First time I've ever had a permanent job.
It is a difference.
It is
a
difference.
Huge difference. This isn't the first time I've had one, but it was the first I worked temporarily for the place I work for like 5 years before I got a permanent job.
It's been a lot of contracts and just
Once you got that though, you want to just get your shit hooks in there and just like never let go, and they will drag you kicking and screaming if they have to.
Hopefully I'll just move around before that happens exactly.
Yeah.
But,
within like a particular organization, it's nice that you can stay in it and then you can apply to all the internal jobs. That's the best shit.
Lateral moves sometimes are so up. Like they just take off into the stratosphere. You're like, oh, it's the same job, but it's in a different department, and it can just be like the most Oh my God, they're
downstairs.
Singing not Four Non-Blondes
downstairs. I hear it.
I'm really
it.
Upset that I'm not
amazing.
There for
that. What's going on?
I'm
that's
furious
so
that they didn't wait for me. I'm really good at singing this
song. Okay, think play it again.
Yeah.
I think that's illegal.
Only
if you do
once
that, Linda
per
Perry
night.
Comes to your house and she kicks you in the dick.
Wow. I guess I'm all right,
though. Yeah, she'll also kick you in the box, whatever.
So you're looking forward to job security?
I have, job security's great. It's going to be great. I also have, like, different parts of my job that I'm looking forward to, I guess, to coordinate Women's Night at the clinic. So that means that I get to just have a bit more of a management role where nice. I am and actually kind of make the women's clinic more of what I'd like to see
it use be. The experience that you've had working with women to be like, this totally. Is actually what people have been telling me they want.
Right?
Hey-o.
It's like, listening to the people we serve is useful.
Exactly. And so I'm the only person that has that kind of experience stepping in, other than maybe like one other person who we've just hired on. So it's going to be exciting to see that move in a better direction so that the women that I hope can access care and would like to access care but don't because of stigma or, yeah, just shittiness.
Get that care.
Can get care.
Get that care.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to leaving the Rainier because it is very close to my heart. And I love the women that I work with, but I will hopefully still see them as often as I can. I'm not looking forward to working with more male folk.
Isn't that what we all don't want to be doing as much as possible?
Yeah, the Rainier for me was such a great place where I'm like, all my staff and all my colleagues and all my clients are all women.
I love it.
And it's very complicated at times, but fuck, was it good.
So yeah, good. But the complexities with women are easier to navigate.
But yeah, we can have some really good times to just like, let's just hash it out right here.
Let's just have a cry about it and hug.
that was
a callback to an earlier segment we did.
Yeah. So that was important to me, and I'm hoping that you can find some similar emotional intelligence in your new team for 2018.
I hope so as well.
Hopefully, if there are any men who are not woke or whatever, whatever word
like
you would like to use.
All the men I work with?
Sure. Hopefully they will be absorbing your good influence through mentoring and all those kinds of things.
Well, I think part of the job is I've put forward some gender and health topics as education. And she's like, Karina, I made a portfolio of all kinds of crazy shit. And she's like, so I've gone through this. And what I'd like to see you do is like a trauma-informed practice with sex workers for the clinic. And I'm like, I'm actually going to cry. Like, seriously, I can do this? She's like, I'd love you to. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yes!
So many people would say that was the thing that they desperately wanted to do with their lives. And I'm very grateful that you exist in the world and want to do that.
Yes!
Very fucking important work.
Because that's so
work.
Necessary because sex workers are so, like, they need medical care.
They work
but
so hard.
They
work so hard.
And they're so fucking discriminated against in every health setting so that you are then internally, like, making that.
They do customer service, which is as soul crushing as it always is, and it's more dangerous to them physically.
Exactly.
Like, we should give them respect, not our like
so
denigration. Fuck off. Like,
yeah. So I've already tried to talk about this stuff a bit with my team. It kind of goes over like a lead balloon. They're like, why wouldn't we chart that they're a sex worker? Why wouldn't we test them every time for HIV when we see them? Like, because that's not what they've asked for. And you're not doing that for everyone. You're stigmatizing them over and over again. They're like, but that's poor medicine.
If every time I wanted to go to a doctor, they were like, I'm going to test you for HIV, I would be like, I don't have HIV. They'd be like, well, we have to test you for it. I would be pretty fucking pissed off.
Right. Yeah.
Or totally. If they were like, we're going to have to test you for pregnancy, I'd be like, that's weird because
I came in for a cold. I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, but it's also like, I know for a fact that is not possible. They're like, well, we still have to test you. I was like, well, fuck you. Like, I know my health better than you do.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't think, and we can't do that with people who are working in a vulnerable job. Like, that's already tough enough.
Yeah.
Be nice.
So, I will not solve all the things, but I am excited.
But you will solve some of the
2018, solve some of the things.
Yeah.
How about anything is better than obsessing over things and not actually accomplishing things? Like, doing a little bit is better than doing nothing until you're ready to do something perfect.
There you go.
Do a little bit.
Fuck perfectionism.
Do a little bit of that thing you do.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Karina, thank you so much for joining us.
What is
really, 2018, do a little bit more.
Bring it.